Sunday mornings, those who regularly worship with us, you'll know that we're looking at 1 Thessalonians in our Bible study or our time when we look at God's Word. And we've arrived at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 this morning. And I think basically it's all about our faith and our conduct. So, you know, what we believe has really got to affect the way that we actually live. So verses 1 to 12, as simply put, it could mean this, or does mean this. God's plans and purpose for his children is that we live holy lives. And we have been given the Holy Spirit to make that possible. Because when someone becomes a Christian, they pray and ask the Lord Jesus to come and take away their sin and live in their hearts. And by his Holy Spirit, he indwells us and therefore empowers us. And this passage isn't, I must confess, not the easiest perhaps to preach on and look at, and but we're going to, because we've got a responsibility, haven't we, of looking at God's Word consecutively. So the biblical doctrine of holiness is really very, very important. It's an important truth. And I think sometimes today this doctrine is almost lost or not preached on or forgotten. Consequently, many are living with no joy, no power, and no fruit or little. And certainly the witness of the church in a secular and evil world is weak and so often fruitless. The young Christians at Thessalonica, they had been involved in paganism. Having become Christians, there was that amazing contrast between paganism and those who trusted the Lord Jesus. They were completely different. And certainly in verses 1 to 12 of this chapter, we see why he's saying this, or what he's saying and why he's saying it, and how we can actually relate that into our conduct so that our faith actually makes a difference to the way that we live day by day. Let's just have a look at what's he on about here. You see, the marks or the characteristics of every Christian should be a holy life. And yet, how do we do that? How do we know that that's demanded of us? Here in 1 Thessalonians, it says that we have to live a life that pleases God. So the responsibility of every Christian, young or old, is living a life that pleases God. Sometimes you hear people say, please yourself, don't you? That's what they say, don't they? Or have you heard that? Or was that just me? I've heard it. Have you heard it? Talk to me. Yeah, we've all heard it, haven't we? Yeah, please yourself, do what you like. But as Christians, we cannot please ourselves and do as we like. We have to live a life that pleases God. And sometimes we're more interested in pleasing our family, friends, or peers. What will she think? What will he say if I don't swear with them, or if I take God's name in vain, or if I do 101 other things? What would they think? The question is it pleasing God? Is a very important question. And we see that in verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There's that, we need that desire to please the Lord so that we can be live a holy life. As the testimony of an Old Testament person was Enoch, in Hebrews 11 verse 5, it says that he pleased God. He was commended because he lived a life that was pleasing God. Are you pleasing God? I wonder. More interested in self, more interested in pleasing our friends or family. And if we're really serious, and we do need to be serious about our commitment to the Lord Jesus, ask your question each day, am I pleasing God? And then secondly, we see it should be a life of progress. How many people who've been born again have the assurance that their sins are forgiven, know for sure that one day they're going to heaven, and yet they don't seem to make any progress in their Christian life? It's a bit like walking up the down escalator. Have you ever tried doing that? Not easy, is it? You look a bit foolish when you're doing it and probably end up on the floor. But walking is the wrong way up an escalator or down an escalator is difficult, tough, and you get nowhere fast. And sometimes Christians seem to get nowhere fast because they compromise, they're trying to be like their mates at school and like their friends at work, instead of pleasing God and honoring Him and seeking to live a life which is different. And we see in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, but we should grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's Paul talking about here to those young Christians at Thessalonica? He's talking about living a life that pleases God, making progress. And here's another one. Look at that. That is scary. Because what he's expecting of us is that we live a life of separation from evil. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. A little practical lesson. Have you got those in your house? Any of those things in your house? Do you know what the red button's for? Use it. Especially when they take God's name in vain, which should never be on the lips of Christians. Why do you accept it in your home? We got to that exciting point in that film. Switch it off. Because if we don't, it becomes part of us. And it's so easy, isn't it? We have to be separate from the evil world in which we live. That's what verses 3 to 7 is talking about, avoiding sexual immorality. Verse 5, passions and lusts. Verse 6, we're warned not to take advantage of our brothers. And verse 7, that we've cut ourselves off from all forms of impurity. Because God has called us, young or old, to live a life of purity. And we see that in 2 Corinthians 7. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body, spirit, preferring holiness out of reverence to God. These things that we hear, bad language, coarse jokes, swearing, taking God's name in vain, will all have an effect upon our lives and our pleasing God. And that's going to be tough, isn't it, if we stop doing those things, because they're going to poke fun at us. They say, what's different? What's it with you? But that's God we're seeking to honor. Now, that doesn't mean that we live in isolation, does it? It doesn't mean to say we're over there on the other side of the fence. That's all our friends. That's all our family. We have nothing to do with them. We're separated from them. No, it's not isolation, but being Christ-like in the home, the work, and among your friends and colleagues at school. So in other words, you're with them, but you're different. And a Christian, I haven't really got a lot of hope for you, because a Christian is going to be different if you're living that life that pleases the Lord. But he'll give you the strength and the help. And verse 4 tells us that we are to present our bodies to the Lord. Give him complete control over your lips and your mind and your heart. We give him everything. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13 says that we are to present our bodies, not to wickedness, but to the Lord as instruments of righteousness. Well, there's one last little thing I want us to look at, is that having become a Christian, trusted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're a brand new person. Brand new. That's good, isn't it? That we're and we've got a new start and a new life. It's a bit like, I suppose, the butterfly. What have you got? A tiny egg, then a caterpillar, then a chrysalis, and then a beautiful butterfly. Isn't that happened in our life? We were dead in our trespasses and sins, enjoying all the wickedness and the evil around us. But then we prayed and asked the Lord Jesus to come and take away our sin and live in our heart. And we were born again, a brand new start, completely different. And verse 5 tells us that we're completely different, an entirely new life, a life of holiness. And as Romans 6 and verse 4 says, that we're buried those things with through baptism. We have been raised to life, a new life in the Lord Jesus, because we have this new life, this spirit-filled life, this love-filled life. As verses 9 and 10 tells us, a holy, healthy life. And what's the secret of that holy, healthy life? Romans 5 and verse 18, that God demonstrated or proved. Years ago, when I used to be traveling around different places, holding children's meetings and marquees and village halls and things, this particular verse, I thought, how can I illustrate this verse? That God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So what I used to do, and I'm not going to do it this morning, I hasten to add, I used to say that hands up those who believe that I can stand on my head. And quite a few people would put their hand up, and then some would say no. Well, how can I, you know, sort of, how can I actually prove to you that I can stand on my head or not? And they said, do it. And, well, as I said, I'm not going down that avenue anymore. But here we are, God, who actually proved, demonstrated, he did it. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to be the Savior of the world, and giving us that new life, which has got to be absolutely honest and true. Always do what is right and leave the consequences to God. Oh, if I say the truth in this situation, oh, what's going to happen? She's going to be really upset. He's going to go bananas and whatever. Look, God has called us to a holy life, which is going to be totally and completely different. And we need to see that these practical things should help us to put holiness into action so that we can become more and more like the Lord Jesus. I'll be back to preach later. Oh, you thought that was it, didn't you? We're going to just have a time of quiet reflection as we prepare ourselves for communion. This is, in fact, an amazing situation, an amazing table, because it is sort of giving us an illustration at one point about the fact that Jesus came and died because he loved us, that Jesus shed his precious blood to wash away our sin. And what we're doing as we take communion, we're saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you. Let's just listen carefully to this song.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. So he shed in this
I think you'd want me to thank the young people for serving us at communion this morning. I thought that was very special to me, and I'm sure to you as well. So thank you for those who actually helped, and other of the young people are doing other things through that service as well. And thank you very much. They're very much a part of our church family, aren't they? And it's good to have them with us this morning, and it's good to be able to look at God's word together, because it's as applicable to them as to us. And you know, we're going through the whole, you know, battle and journey together, aren't we? I know when I was a young person, I've got a good memory, so you know, so that's how you know, I could think about, oh, well, when I get, you know, in a little bit, think about an age or think, it'll be okay. But then there were other problems and situations, and it's just a bit like that, isn't it? That certainly, if it's not one thing, it's another. But the thrilling thing is this, that God is always with us. And what we have to have, that passion, that desire to put God's word into practice, so that we have a faith and it affects our conduct. Why? Well, because God commanded it. Here in his word, he's commanded that we live like this. And Paul says in verse 1, we urge you. Verse 3, he said it's God's will. Verse 7, he calls us to live a holy life. Verse 8, he says we have to reject the instructions of the world. If you reject God's word and God's instructions, you're not rejecting others or the church, you're rejecting God himself. You're going against God himself. And that has some serious consequences, doesn't it? And the Lord Jesus has instructed us to be clean, to have a clean cut from unholiness. So there's a reality about our life. There's a difference about our life. We're filled with love and complete honesty. It's an ongoing adventure, Christ alive and living in me. That's got to be exciting, isn't it, for each one of us? That the Christian life, my commitment to him totally, is a daily adventure, Christ alive and living in me. Well, why? Because God commanded it. Secondly, we live this Christian life because people expect it. Whether you understand this or not, people are looking at you. And if you do something which is perhaps wrong, or, you know, people will wonder why you are doing that. Because they're looking, they expect something different from us as Christians, don't they? You see, the unbeliever all around us, they're looking. And so often it's true that we profess so much but possess so little. Holiness is possible in the Lord's strength and with him alone. Verse 8 says that God has given us his Holy Spirit and he will produce this holiness in our life. It's not a matter of, oh, I've messed up. Sort of shake yourself off. I'm going to struggle harder tomorrow. It's only possible to live the Christian life through the power of the Holy Spirit, allowing him complete control of our life. His secret is that holiness within, that are yielding to him because he's there with us. So this faith that we have in the Lord Jesus and the conduct he's expecting us to reveal day by day maybe you think, that's beyond me. I could never, ever do that. So let's just close by thinking about the how. And I should just mention that all the songs that we sang this morning were chosen by the youth group. And I've been quite amazed how they've sort of dovetailed into what we've been looking at and thinking about this morning. So thank you for choosing those particular songs for us to sing. Because they have helped us to understand a little about how we're going to get this faith on the road and how to live this life. Well, first, because of his presence. The Lord Jesus said that he would never leave us or forsake us. He is present with us. Wherever you go, whatever situation you find yourselves in, he is with you. That's a bit scary, I think, sometimes, isn't it? To think that some of the things that we do, we'd rather no one was watching. But he's there with us. His presence never leaving us. And that would, I think, transform the way that we do things and how we live. It would transform our conduct. It would put our faith into action, wouldn't it? Making it clear that he is indwelling us. Every born-again person, he's indwelling us, and he's with us everywhere in every situation. Even when we're doing bad things, he's there. Because he said he wouldn't leave us. And how sometimes that must grieve him when he hears what we say and sees what we do. But also we need that respect, don't we? The Holy Spirit is the Holy One himself. And he is calling for a lifestyle change, a dramatic and radical difference from the way that we were. Because we used to grieve him, and now we want to honor him. We used to live for ourselves and do what we wanted, and now we want our conduct to be different as we respect the fact that he is indwelling us. The Holy Spirit is living within us, which will turn our lives around as we confess to him every known sin. The good news is this, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, as we looked at, cleanses us from all sin. So we do stupid things, we say things, and what we need to do is confess those sins, respect the fact that the Holy Spirit is living within us, and we ask him to forgive us, and he does. And we can only do that in the strength that he supplies as we respect and understand his indwelling. And then there's his power. We must count on him and draw upon his power. The only trouble is the on and off switch is there, and maybe you've never pressed it on. Maybe you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you have no power. And maybe you haven't dug deep into the resources of God's Word and relied upon the power of his Holy Spirit within us. We can begin to live that radical, different, exciting life of faith that affects everything we do as we make a definite decision to surrender our all to the Lord Jesus. It's like turning on the power as we surrender our all to him. And we must go on living that life of holiness, moment by moment, recognizing his presence. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Recognizing that there has to be respect for his person, that the Holy Spirit is living in our heart. We belong to the Holy Father, the living Almighty God. We look at the life of the Lord Jesus. It was different. It was holy. And he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And that's not going to be easy. But we receive his power to help us and to see us through. How wonderful that God has called each one of us to live that holy life. And he's given us his Holy Spirit to make it possible. In Revelation 7 and verse 10, they cried in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Salvation belongs to our God. Is he sitting on the throne of your life, or are you still in charge? Give him your all and trust him to make a difference. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you and praise you for the privilege of being able to spend this time together this morning. We thank you and praise you that we acknowledge that salvation belongs to our God. And we pray that he will be enthroned in our hearts, Lord of all, so that our faith will affect our conduct even tomorrow. We pray, Father, that as we separate, we may know the peace of God that passes all our understanding, keeping our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of our glorious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.